and kicking off the weekend Saturday, mostly cloudy with a thunderstorm, with a high temperature of 80 degrees, a low temperature of 64 degrees.
Well, hey, good morning. It is the Adam the Computer Guy radio show on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial. Adam Lepp here, the Computer Guy, with my twice-weekly performance. Thank you very much for tuning in today. It's greatly appreciated. In the studio, we have a regular commentator, and he is live in person in the flesh. It's Mr. Brandon Oak. We have all kinds of fun things to talk about, and we'd love to have you become part of the conversation. That's kind of what we do here, because this is an interactive kind of a show. So, give me a ring right now. Pick up the phone. Don't be shy. Love to hear from you. The number in the studio is 740-383-9944. And 9944 stands for WWGH. And WWGH also stands for the President, Warren G. Harding, who, of course, lived much of his life here in Marion. His grandson, Jim Blessing, was on yesterday with Scott Spears. Scott, of course, has many great guests, celebrities, local dignitaries, and always a few surprises. And that's the kind of programming we have here at Marion's Talking Place. Shows that will inform you, entertain you. Sometimes they might cause some controversy. That's why we do invite you to call. So please do give me a ring. The first topic with Brandon will be, hate to disappoint you or maybe to thrill you, will be Pokemon, because Brandon is a bit of an expert in Pokemon. In fact, as we came into the studio, he was Pokemoning here at the mall, which was kind of cool. So if you have questions or comments, suggestions, complaints, anything that you want to talk about that is Pokemon related, give me a ring, 740-383-9944. Without further ado, Brandon Oak, you're in the studio with me today. How are you this morning, my friend?
Oh, just great, Adam. How are you today?
We are totally terrific for Tuesday the 28th, if I should say so myself. Is your headphones working okay? I think you were motioning that you weren't hearing anything, but you can hear now.
That's very good.
Really kind of stinks when the equipment doesn't function as expected, but being a computer person of sorts, I can usually fix these guffaws and get things working like they should. Now, Brandon, we were talking about Pokemon, and as you know, as being a regular listener to the show, I've been known to lampoon the whole process, just a tad, but certainly Pokemon has been a revolution, which you feel is actually a pretty positive thing. It's getting people out exercising and learning about their communities, making new friends, and as they say, blah, 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 yada, 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 and so on and so forth, and all that good stuff. First, Brandon, let me ask you this. And again, we do invite your telephone calls. So don't be shy. Get out the old rotary dial phone that your grandma gave you, or maybe the touchpad on your smartphone or your flip phone. My dad has a flip phone. And give us a ring. Yes, he does, Brandon. Believe me. He's 76 years old, and he uses his flip phone. And he flips over it. Believe me. You can laugh. It's okay. They do that on morning shows, you know.
I love it. I'm sorry.
That's okay. 740-383-9944 for Pokemon Go. Questions, comments, suggestions, complaints, feedback, and whatnot. Brandon, why don't you do this first? Go ahead and just tell our audience succinctly, always like that word, exactly what is Pokemon Go? As we've had people call here and call it Hokey Pokey, which I thought was kind of funny. But what, I guess you could do the Hokey Pokey and turn yourself around while you're looking for the Pokemon, or is the plural Pokemon? I'm not sure. Would that be non-politically correct and should be Pokey persons?
No.
Why don't you tell our audience, Brandon, exactly what is Pokemon Go? Why do you think it's become such a craze?
Yes.
Just go ahead and tell us.
Sure.
Let us know what's going on here with the Pokemon.
Well, first off, I'll say the correct enunciation is Pokemon, not Pokemon, for those of you who haven't caught up in the past 20 years, which, by the way, Pokemon has been popular for the past 20 years. Pokemon Go basically is, well, there's the, it's by Niantic, which is a company who is fueled by Google, who had a game called Ingress a few years ago. Basically, the whole point now is to get people out of their houses to discover local landmarks, historical or not, Well, they have that inspiration. Then they have the billions, literally billions of fans of Pokemon, to get people out of houses to catch these digital creatures who have been out for 20-some years now. The whole aspect, really, I mean, it has a great benefit, really. I mean, it does get people out. It helps people discover things. Pokemon's been around for 20-some years now, so, I mean, really, the whole point is to get people out to discover local landmarks, and.
So, Brandon, while people are discovering their local landmarks, and we have many in Marion, Harding's tomb, certainly, probably the most well-known. Marion's a very historic city, and there are many landmarks all over the great state of Ohio that we live in. Exactly what does a person do when doing this Pokemoning? Do you, like, drive? Do you take your bike? Do you rollerblade or skateboard, or do you just walk? Or I mean, what exactly is the process of this? And do you have to get an app? Does it work on all phones? And how? What exactly is? Take us step by step. Exactly how one does Pokemoning, if that's a verb.
Well, let's start off with the phones. For most updated phones, like within this current generation, should have an app for it within either Google Store or the iPhone Store or what have you. You can walk around, which is the most beneficial point of this, not to mention exercise, but biking is also promoted because that's part of it, and because there are benefits to it, which I'll get into later. Otherwise, I mean, driving around to find the so-called Pokestops, which are the local landmarks to which, you know, you get items, et cetera, which are based off of the game I mentioned earlier, Ingress. It's the same concept, really, but anyways, but yeah, it is the to get people out and about their houses, and there are benefits towards it besides just exercise that I would say. But I will digress on that in a moment here.
As we got to the studio here at the Marion Center Mall, formerly the Southland Mall, again a historic area. There are many stops in Marion that are historic. You were doing some Pokemoning. I wasn't quite understanding, and we had to get to the studio in time, or we'd miss the show. Plus, I had to use the men's room. Tell us exactly what you were doing, Brandon, as we walked in, and you were Pokemoning, and I think you found a Poke person. I'm not sure what you did, because I hadn't finished my coffee yet. Tell us exactly what that process was, and here in the mall, is it a good Poke stop? Did you find any Pokey stuff or what? Tell us exactly the scoop behind that.
Well, as we were walking in, I mean, basically the whole concept, it is based off of Google Maps, which it does based off GPS for the most part. So as I was walking in, I mean, random Pokemon do show up, but otherwise there were a few stops here, I do believe, that were quote-unquote landmarks, so to speak, or roughly on that same level, but they kind of randomly appear, but I mean there are certain ones that appear other places, but that's aside the point. It's really about getting people out, and yes, I mean really that's really the whole point of this.
I guess as we've seen a lot of memes, I guess that's how you what you call it,
yes.
Memes on the web. See, I'm kind of hip for someone a little bit older, but you know I don't get older, I get better, and I'm pretty good at this point. They're saying, well, people should spend less time Pokemoning and more time looking for a job or doing volunteer work if you're a recent casino or lottery winner. What do you think about that? We were kind of talking about that, and you were kind of saying, well, maybe I'm being a little too harsh. Am I, Brandon, or is there a point there, or what's your take on that whole thing of less Pokemoning and more job searching?
Yes, well, there is a certain level. I mean, I suppose if you're under the age of, you know, 16 or 17, whatever, you need to get a job, I do imagine that that's not your number one priority. I mean, not in this day and age, I do suppose. But, I mean, roughly in my age, with it's in the 20, close to 30 range, I do suggest that you do have a job just because this game does have a tendency to be quite addictive.
Addictive?
So to speak. Well, to a point. I mean,
something on the internet is addictive? OMG.
Moderately, yes.
Now you work in the restaurant business, Brandon?
Yes,
quite,
I do.
Quite a chef, as
yes.
I tend
yes.
to hear.
Yes, sir.
And I don't want to make myself too hungry, but let you know, Brandon is quite the... quite the cook extraordinaire. Have you been Pokemoning at work? Have you accidentally Pokemoned and maybe you burned yourself because you put more time on Pokemoning and less time about
No.
vegetables steaming on the stove?
Or, no,
so
no,
you don't.
No.
So you don't Pokemon at work?
No, because you have to, realistically, I mean, okay, yes, there are those who spend copious amounts of time doing this, but we'll get back to that shortly, but... realistically, if you're trying to do this during work or trying to do this, et cetera, there's really no point of trying to because it does have side effects, and I've seen people get fired for trying to do so. So it's the same as being, let's say, texting during work when you're supposed to be doing work. So yeah, it's the same concept right now. So
we are taking your telephone calls. We can talk about any technological topic here on the Adam, the Computer Guy radio show. So you can give me a buzz at 740-383-9944, and Brandon can answer your questions or shoot the breeze with you regarding Pokemon, which certainly is a craze, and he admits to being a Pokemon aficionado. Always like that word. And any questions that you have, because even I don't fully understand it. Maybe I'm just too old and stubborn, or who knows. But that's okay, Brandon. I said you can laugh. They do that on the radio. That's not a problem whatsoever.
Oh, that's not that.
I noticed you've lost a little weight since I saw you last time. And
yes.
another meme that I saw on the internet was about. I think you saw that people like using different substances, and the last one said Pokemon before and after, and the mm-hmm. person lost like 200 pounds. And I was saying, you haven't lost that much. I mean,
but a considerable amount, considering. I mean, like, well, besides the fact that I'm biking to work, but this has helped because the walking around, you know, there are, I guess, rewards, quote unquote, so to speak, for walking a certain amount or doing such things involved in this game that kind of inspires. You know, to actually exercise without actually exercising, but really that's kind of.
So you do feel that Pokemon can be healthy.
Oh, yeah, definitely, in more than one way.
And so you discussed earlier that people are Pokemoning while driving, and do you think that that's a serious problem? Should there be a new a law passed in Ohio, a PWD or
whatever
they want to call
along it? It's along the same lines as texting or calling when driving. It's simple as this. I don't care how. Let's put it this way. I don't care how able you're claiming to multitask, how able you're not to be distracted by doing such. But simply put, if you try to go and drive, you are just asking for trouble. And that's simple as that. It's no different than texting and driving, which is a major problem that we know.
Now,
and, yeah.
Can Pokemon, or whatever the plural would be, can they be found in a vehicle, especially if you're in a school bus? Do kids do this? If you take the city bus, would you find mm-hmm. it in the bus? Or how about an airplane?
You can find them literally almost everywhere, but the problem is with people driving, and they do this, and then they don't pay attention to what's in front of them. Either they go too fast or go too slow, and I've experienced this myself. I had a friend, or an ex-friend now, because he... quite literally was slowing down 10 miles under the speed limit to look for these things. And I'm like, it's quite no different than texting and driving. I'm like, you're endangering yourself, myself, and other drivers, so I refuse. So going and driving is just a bad combination, period.
So it can be a healthy diversion, but people can get obsessed with it. Like you said, your friend was doing, ends up being on the dangerous end of the spectrum. Okay. And we are taking your telephone calls on a variety of today's top technology topics on a Thursday, the 28th. A lot of T's there. Number here at the studio, 740-383-WWGH, 383-9944. Beep, beep. Yes, I do toot my own horn from time to time. Brandon, do you know why I toot my own horn at least once a show? Are you aware of why I do that?
Well, because you're just great what you do.
Right, but I think, does it relate to the website and being able to listen on TuneIn or...
Incredibly so.
Tell us about the website and the show archives and being able to listen online. like clicking the little triangle thingy and, you know, snap my fingers there. And
besides the fact that it's incredibly user-friendly and easy to access, so, I mean, basically, I mean, really, it's very straightforward, and it does, if it doesn't surpass, it does stay on the same level as, say, like a bigger corporation radio site and such and so forth.
So you feel that the ease of usage of the website that yours truly works on?
Yes.
Is a great thing about the station. You can listen online. You can download TuneIn. We're getting a telephone call. That's awfully cool. And I think it's actually who I think it might be, which would really be cool with a capital K.
Cool.
Good morning. You're on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show with Adam and Brandon.
My turn?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Hi, it's Steve. How are you?
Steve Boom Boom Cannon. I told Brandon that you, the radio legend, formerly of a station somewhere around 610 kilohertz on the amplitude modification dial, would be calling. Thank you for calling in, Steve. Have you been listening to our talk about Pokemon?
One of the things that I've been trying to master, one of the great delights of my life is being able to have a computer and to be able to access information even on my cell phone. It is also the bane of my existence. For those who have been on my Facebook page, you know I periodically call myself Techno Boob. So I need some help from Adam.
Steve, I'll be happy to provide service. Let me ask Brandon. He's in his late 20s. Do you remember hearing Steve Cannon on 610 WTVN?
Oh, quite so. Very
you remember
much.
Steve Cannon?
Yeah,
and
I do,
see,
actually.
See, we get, you know, I know Scott speaks to Ed Asner and Dr. Ruth and all these famous people. We get celebrity callers, too.
Can I just say, you're a legend, sir. I do appreciate it, really. You're just, yeah, you're an idol to myself. Thank you.
So, well, you had a question, Steve?
Yes.
Okay.
What's the best way to access free downloads of easy games to use on your cell phone? I've had I now bowl. I play solitaire. But there are some free items like gin and the like that I would like to be able to get my hands on, but I'm not sure how to access that or even look into free games that can be downloaded to your cell phone.
I'd like to access some free gin, too, wouldn't you, Brandon?
Aye.
I'll let Brandon answer that question again. He's a little teeny bit younger than myself. I know he is a game enthusiast, and I think he knows about how to get these apps. Why don't you help out our friend Steve, Brandon, with some suggestions?
Well, it's really quite simple. If you go, well, it depends on your phone, either the iPhone Store or the Google Play. I mean, you type in the game you're looking for. Like myself, I typed in Euchre. There are at least three or four apps that are highly rated, and I do suggest if you're looking for a game, you go for the higher rated version, because it is, the more people that play it are higher rated, and it is more reliable to play such games. So quite simply, you go to your Play Store and literally just search it, and you should have no problem with these games you're looking for, really.
So I should go to Google and try and find free games that are available for download?
Well, it depends on your phone. I mean, if you have an iPhone, you have the Apple Store, and then with the Android, you have the Google Play Store. Either one. You have the same results, basically.
I have the Samsung S4, I think it is.
Then you'll have Google Play Store, and if you search the games in the search menu, then you should have no problem finding the games you should looking for. So.
Perfect.
Thank
That's
you.
Been very helpful.
Thank
and,
you.
And
much.
I can find easy games that a guy of my limited skill can handle, correct?
Yes, very much so. It's built for, it's very user-friendly, to say the least.
Perfect. I appreciate the help.
Oh, no problem at all, sir.
Steve, are you a Pokemon enthusiast, or maybe your kids or grandkids? Do they Pokemon? We've been talking about that a bit, and Brandon feels it's a healthy diversion. Maybe it's getting some bad press.
Mm-hmm.
I like to watch people play Pokemon. I, myself, am not sufficiently capable to be able to deal with that much technology and speed all at once. But it's kind of fun to watch people play. The thing that, I don't know if I should be concerned about this, but the thing that concerns me most is the number of people who are engaged in playing fairly violent games. You know, a cartoon war and that kind of thing, is fine, but some ultra-violent, I've seen some ultra-violent video games with blood splatters and all kinds of ridiculousness that, I don't know, it just, it kind of annoys me. Am I alone on this?
No.
Let us know what you think, Brandon. That's fine. Again, you're the gaming enthusiast. You're the expert. That's okay. The dog was barking, but I think the dog likes the show. That's
I know, right?
We invite canine listeners.
Right. Sorry, my microphone from my liver. No, I totally agree with you. Actually, I've been playing games for at least almost 20 years now, and Pokemon alone has been out for over 20 years now, and it is one of the least violent, at least in the eyes of most, versus some radical groups, but that's besides the point. No, really, again, Pokemon is one of the least violent games. I mean, it really is. So, I mean, if anything, it is heavy. It has and always will have a kind of beneficial nature to it, I think, even for new generations younger than myself. So,
it's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun. But as I mentioned earlier, I'm not really sure if it's how do I put this delicately? If it's the kind of game that a person in my demographic would be terribly dexterous at handling, if you follow me.
I get it. It's all right.
That's a good word, Steve.
Yes, very much so.
Okay. Hey, listen, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling, Steve, and say hi to the family for me. Have a great rest of your Thursday.
I will do just that.
Take care. We are taking your telephone calls here live on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, a twice-weekly feature on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH. So, Brandon, you have listened to Steve when he was on a certain AM station around 610 kilohertz. I mean, he's a great announcer. Honestly, he's someone who has inspired me. One reason why I love radio. We talked about Casey Kasem on the way here, and we both idolize him. But, yeah, again, we have many good local talents here, and it's great to have Steve as a part of the station. He does call in regularly. We have some of his shows actually in archives. If you go to our website at wwgh1071.com. So we are taking your telephone calls. Don't be shy. Pick up the telephone receiver. Touch tone, tap, whatever they call it. 740-383-9944. Coming up in about 35 minutes, plus or minus, it is our local broadcasting legend, Mr. Charlie Evers. Now, there's a man with anecdotes, stories, tales, and, of course, wisecracks on pretty much every topic under the sun. And then, after the noon features, it is our program manager, Scott Spears. As I mentioned, there's a man who has all kinds of celebrity guests, as well as local dignitaries and interesting people, and always a surprise or two. Brandon, you told me you were going to call Scott today and talk about a couple topics. We do enjoy his... Scott's an excellent interviewer. He was at the Republican National Convention last week along with Terry Tackett, another one of our general managers here at the station, and Pastor Brett Cornelius, and reporting live. There are some photos of Scott with Bob Schieffer and even Rod Stewart. Even Rod Stewart. Yeah, Rod Stewart, Brandon, being an aficionado
That's
of
incredible.
Classic rock music.
Oh, man.
Rod posed for a photograph with Scott Spears. So we have some pretty cool stuff here at Marion's Talking Place. And if you ask, whom will Scott be having on his show today? Well, after the noon features, and coming up in approximately 2 hours and 35 minutes or so, Scott will be joined by the oldest living former member of Congress and World War II veteran, Ken Heckler. Brandon, how old do you think Ken Heckler is? He's a World War II veteran.
I'm give or take in 90 to 92, give or take.
Well, this isn't a radio station. This is his age, 101.
Oh, wow.
Sounds like a radio station, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Okay.
So Ken Heckler, 101 years old, a World War II veteran. Now, that's pretty
cool. That's impressive.
He's also a former congressperson. He was the only member of Congress to march. Check this out, Brandon. He was the only member of Congress to march with Martin Luther King Jr. in Selma, Alabama. And he interviewed Nazi soldiers before the Nuremberg trials, one of which was Hermann Göring, Hitler's second in command.
That's incredible. So,
don't want to miss that. And then after 1 o'clock, it'll be open phone lines. discuss politics or pretty much anything else with Scott. Scott is someone who's great to shoot the breeze with. He has excellent insight and isn't afraid to ask the right questions. He's an outstanding reporter, if I should say so myself, and we do invite you to listen to now, not now, but when it's on, between about 12, 10 p.m. and 2, to Scott Spears and his special guests. And tomorrow on the Exchange Club, it is the only person ever to be a local, state, and national treasurer, the Honorable Mary Ellen Withrow. Of course, she's a Marion area native. She'll be on Friday between approximately 12:15 and 1 p.m. with Scott, Charlie, Marge, Marianne, and Sean on the Exchange Club. Of course, she'll be talking about politics. As you know, Brandon, Mary Ellen Withrow was the treasurer, the dollar bill signer under, let's call this person President Clinton number one. Because there could be a President Clinton number two. Mm-hmm. And I think Chelsea has her eyes on the White House, too. So the original President Clinton, an official dollar bill signer, Mary Ellen Withrow, joining Scott and friends tomorrow on the Exchange Club. Adam the Computer Guy here with my show, which isn't too shabby in its own right. Approximately, let's see, about 42 minutes after 9 Eastern Daylight Time on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 FM and WWGH1071.com on your favorite web browser. Brandon Oak here, my regular commentator, a longtime friend, an occasional business associate, live in the studio, drinking the coffee, talking about today's top technology topics, inviting you to call in and join us. In news from the world of technology, and this came out yesterday, BlackBerry. Remember the BlackBerry, Brandon?
Oh, Lord, that's been a while.
Approximately, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. It was the main smartphone, but has kind of gone by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
BlackBerry, on Tuesday, made a play for security-conscious Android users with the announcement of its new device, the DTEC 50. It runs Android version 6, which is called Marshmallow. It also runs BlackBerry security software. And according to BlackBerry, it is the most secure Android smartphone in the world. It includes rapid patching for quick delivery of software updates, software for monitoring a phone's operating system and applications, and to alert a user whose privacy is at risk, a secure boot process. It doesn't involve putting on footwear. It involves turning the phone on. You were supposed to laugh at that, Brandon. You've been laughing at my jokes, but I guess you didn't think that was funny. Anyway, this DTEC 50 has a secure boot process, which monitors each stage of a phone's startup to ensure none of the components in that process have been tampered with. It also has Android hardening, that sounds like fun, to prevent an attack on a phone by scrambling an application system memory. Not surprisingly, now check this out, Brandon. BlackBerry in April surveyed 8,000 consumers between the ages of 34 and 54. And not surprisingly, many of those people have concerns about their phone's security. 50% of the respondents felt their phones were only somewhat secure, and only 1 in 6 knew about security patches for their phones. David Kleidermacher, BlackBerry's chief security officer, said, "With an increase in cybercrime on smartphones, people need to recognize that the private details of their lives, where they live, their bank info, pictures of their kids, are at risk on their personal device." He said, "You wouldn't leave the doors of your house unlocked at night. Having a smartphone that doesn't take your privacy seriously is the equivalent. It's equally important for businesses to protect their sensitive data from cyber attacks at all points of their mobile environment, from the device to the network and servers." In addition to these security features, check this out, Brandon. The display on this DTEC 50 is HD, and it's 5.2 inches. That's nice. Quite the large display. It has SD cards. This is amazing. Do I need new glasses? It supports an SD card with up to 2 terabytes of storage. How do you put 2 terabytes on a tiny little SD card? I can't even see those things without a magnifying glass. I mean, come on.
Incredible.
It has 2 cameras, an 8-megapixel front-facing, a 13-megapixel rear-facing, and a dual-tone LED flash. BlackBerry began accepting pre-orders It sells for only $299. That's a pretty good price through August 8th. Anybody buying the phone at a BlackBerry online store will receive a complimentary BlackBerry Mobile Power Pack. Wayne Lamb, an expert in the field, said this phone is an interesting twist on BlackBerry's asset-light approach to hardware development. The physical hardware is essentially a rebranded Alcatel Idol 4 smartphone with BlackBerry security software. BlackBerry once dominated the smartphone market it helped create in the first decade, but in recent years, its hardware fortunes have steadily declined. Now, this latest offering is not likely to change that. Bob O'Donnell from Tech Analysis Research said, "They're doing a number of right things with this phone, but it's a tough sell. There are some organizations for whom a secure Android device could be attractive, but people see BlackBerry's phone business on its last legs." So what do you think about that, Brandon? Does this phone sound like a pretty... I think this phone's pretty awesome with a capital A. Will it put BlackBerry back into the fold here?
It kind of seems like a last resort kind of deal, really. I mean, it seems like, okay, well, this is all we can really do. Let's see what happens and let's shoot for the best at this point. I mean... Because really, in, I hate to say it, within my generation, very few knew of BlackBerries, or even more so in the next generation, have no clue what BlackBerries were. But really, I do think this is kind of like the, you know, the last hurrah, so to speak, for them. And it, I don't exactly expect them to keep up with the market after they release it, if they actually are successful as they claim to be.
Adam left.
Love the cool things we can do, we can do, we can do. We love the cool things we can do on our computer.
The studio at the Marion Center Mall, myself, Adam the Computer Guy, along with my regular commentator, Mr. Brandon Oak, taking your telephone calls live in the studio. Give us a ring. Talk about today's top technology topics, 740-383-9944. We do offer free technical support. Maybe your monitor is only monitoring your headaches. Your server is not serving you anything but trouble. Well, maybe it is, Brandon. That's okay. You can giggle. Maybe your monitor is only monitoring your frustration with technology. Your printer is not printing anything other than gibberish. And your operating system is operating on your sanity more than what it should be doing. Give us a call. We can provide you with advice, suggestions, comments, even complaints are welcome. 740-383-9944. And if you would like to be a sponsor or underwriter of the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, that would be fantabulous with a capital F. Pricing is very good. You'll get regular mentions on my show and other shows, and also be featured prominently on our website, the website that we were discussing a few minutes ago, right before our celebrity caller, Steve Boom Boom Cannon, chimed in, WWGH1071.com. Arriving in the studio right now is our esteemed program manager, Mr. Scott Spears. Again, he'll be joined by 101-year-old Ken Heckler just after the 12 o'clock features. And Mr. Heckler, the only member of Congress to march with Martin Luther King Jr. in Selma, Alabama. He also interviewed Nazi soldiers before the Nuremberg trials, one of which was Hitler's second in command. Don't want to miss that. Of course, Scott, always taking your telephone calls live in the studio at 740-383-9944. About 11 minutes before 10, Brandon, you want to talk about a high-tech backpack. We were discussing that in the car, and we wanted to touch on it. It's, lack of a better term, intriguing, innovative, and hopefully not too expensive. Why don't you share with our listeners about this this backpack?
Indeed. Basically, it's it's a backpack, so it seems on the outside. Some of the better features is that it can charge your phone, number one. It is cut-proof, which means no thieves or what have you can physically cut through with a knife or what have you. It has a kind of a fail-safe, so to speak. Like, you can't unlock it unless you, you know, do it yourself, etc. besides the fact it's waterproof, you know, spill-proof, etc., overall, it's a very utility, versatile backpack that stands above the rest, and I think the cost is around $100 or so, but, I mean, given the benefits as to what it can do, overall, it's beneficiary to those who wish to purchase it.
You mentioned that you can't cut it. Mm-hmm. Can a Pokemon character find its way into the backpack? Is it not penetratable or permeable or whatever that word is?
As funny as that might be, no, really. No, but the whole point is here is to protect your personal items. And, I mean, the fact that it can charge your phone is incredible in itself. That saves so much on, you know, and just in general, with those traveling, I mean, it's so much easier than having to, you know, find a plug-in. Not to mention, you can store your money in it, and the thieves or that may try to prevail cannot, because they cannot physically get into it.
What material is this made of that's not... You can't take a chainsaw? I mean, there's got to be some way to cut it.
Well, I'm assuming... I'm not sure about this. I'm assuming it's not Kevlar-based, but it's on the same line that physical tests have, you know, shown that knives or blades of any kind, except for, say, chainsaws, etc., that, you know, a regular blade that most, quote-unquote, thieves might carry with them cannot cut through it.
So what do you think? Do you think it's worth $100? Is it a good... And one thing, too, there's been issues with people, I guess, skimming RF keys and credit cards. If you put those devices in the backpack... Is someone not able to skim your credit card, your RF key, your technology that seems to float with you as you walk along the great world we live in?
That was the one little piece I just told. Thank you for reminding me. Yes, that is also part of it. It does protect you from skimmers or scammers, so to speak. Yes, it does.
Skimmers, scammers, and
yeah,
spammers.
It does protect. It has that defensive layer or what have you they have nowadays. So right. Yes.
And speaking of spam, yesterday, Google. Check this out there, Brandon, as you drink your coffee. How's that coffee?
Very good, thank you.
You're very welcome. Anyway, Google yesterday released an updated version of its phone app for Android with a new spam protection feature that warns users when an incoming call is likely to be spam. It also lets them block numbers and report spam. You know the robocalls, right? Yeah. Including the fake ones from the IRS and
everything else that
people claim to. Yes, this is hello. This is Marsha, and you may qualify for reduction
scam,
of your student
scam,
loans.
Scam.
You might qualify for being hung up on. Is what I have to say.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's available on Google Play. The spam warning feature works on Nexus and Android One devices on T-Mobile, Project Fi, and Orange France networks. I've never heard of Orange Fi before,
right?
But that's okay.
Okay.
Rob Enderle, someone we quote fairly frequently because he's fairly knowledgeable, said, "For me, mobile spam calls are a nightmare. I get calls throughout the day now, and it's incredibly annoying." Well, I would say it probably is.
Mm-hmm.
"Mobile call spam is a growing problem," said Michael Jude from Straightcast Frost and Sullivan. He said, "Most mobile numbers aren't listed anywhere, and so spamming has been difficult. But automation is rapidly eroding the protection of anonymity. It's possible for call systems to quickly scan down a block of numbers, identify the ones that get answered, and compile lists of active numbers." Brandon, do you think that this mobile spam is a growing problem and maybe even at crisis level? It's not annoying, but some people are going to fall prey to these thieves, which is what they are, and they'll lose their money.
To say the least, I mean, aside the fact that you can now access your, you know, actual numbers, especially through social media, like, there is so much spam and scam that people fall for daily. It's just incredible just how, I guess, I hate to say it, but how powerful they've become, I guess, because they can kind of shroud themselves into reality, but in true reality, they're indeed... scam and spam, so to speak.
How many of these calls do you think you get a week, Brandon? I probably get 20 or 30 of them, but how many do you think you get?
Well, I don't get calls, but I know the number of emails that I get, which I have had to block because there have been just so much kind of unfiltered garbage, really. So, yeah, it's essentially the same thing.
Now, the Google Phone app already offered caller ID and call blocking, and caller ID displayed known businesses, but the older call blocking feature, according to spokesperson Crystal Dolan, was just blocking and individual contact. This update includes the ability to report spam and show alerts for suspected spam callers. Previously, the caller ID showed known businesses through Google My Businesses, and nothing about this feature is changing, according to Google. Users already could place calls from Google Maps, but with the update, a user does not need to open another app. Just type locksmith in the phone app, and the three nearest results will appear. There already are a number of complaints on the phone app's Google Play page. Salim Ahmed said, "Visual voicemail is broken with latest update. Nothing is currently displayed in the tab even though the settings look fine. Rolling back to the previous version solves that issue. I can't be notified when I receive a text message when I'm on a call." So we find these updates, this latest and greatest, causes something else not to work, and maybe they should go back to old reliable. Again, don't put the cart before the horse, but that does tend to happen a bit with the
new technology.
Technology. I think you had another high-tech gadget or device or thingy to tell us about, Brandon.
Yes.
And we got about 3 minutes left. Go ahead and share with our listeners this other latest and greatest innovation, invention, gadgetry that you wanted to talk about.
I do believe it was the essentially it's a sphere, I do believe, that saves those who were threatened by, let's say, a tsunami or water-related incidents. It can house up to, up to 10 people. And essentially, it literally rolls with the waves, and you get inside of it, and it basically, I mean, yes, you can't save your valuables for the most part, but, I mean, it does save you, and it protects you until, you know, literally the storm has ended. So it's quite literally a protective sphere, which is a very innovative thing considering how many, you know, countries, et cetera, are affected by tsunamis or water-related incidences, et cetera. So
great. You feel that technology can be useful in saving lives
and
safety.
So. Yeah, very much so.
And that's an example of that.
It's very prominent considering how many people get literally dehoused by flooding every year or so.
Definitely. And we want to focus on the good side of technology. Again, we talked about Pokemon initially. Brandon, are we going to have to hang out here for a bit after my show, and you're going to do some Pokemoning, or what do you think?
Just a real quick benefit of it for myself, and I know I've spoken to others, it does, besides the fact that exercise, it does help with social anxiety, personally speaking, and it helps with depression-related issues. So, yeah, it does have a technology, in this case, especially has more benefits than people give credit for.
So we like to focus on the positive side of technology,
mm-hmm.
and we think Pokemon, although, again, it gets press good and bad, it gets opinions, but all in all, it's probably a pretty good thing.
I mean, it's been around for 20 years. I mean, it's never had a negative side, nothing more than people have tried to make it out to be, which they failed 20 years ago, so, I mean, really now, it's more prominent than ever, so it has its second wave, so to speak. It's taken the world by storm, quite literally.
I do want to thank you, Brandon, for being on the show today. About 55 seconds left of the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. Brandon joins us regularly in studio via phone, via Skype, or other methods, discussing topics with his commentary. Of course, we do take your telephone calls. Thanks again to Steve Boom Boom Cannon for calling in earlier. Some great insight. Hopefully some helpful information for all you fine folks listening in Radio Land. Talk to you again Tuesday, August 2nd, almost August already, with more of today's top technology topics. I wish you a great Thursday. And again, please don't text and drive. Please don't Pokemon and drive. Please be careful out there. Charlie's up next after the 10 a.m. features. There's a man with all kinds of great anecdotes, stories. He's a walking encyclopedia of Mid-Ohio, and he doesn't even give away prizes. And then it's Scott after the noon features. AdamTheComputerGuy.com.